This morning, we're going to talk about how God's people should handle their problems. And I'm going to say you should handle your problems this way, whether it's a big problem or it's a little problem or whatever kind of problem it is. But we're going to learn a lot about handling difficulties in this life. And we'll read in Exodus chapter 2 this morning, beginning at verse 1. We'll read to verse 10. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him, an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Bryce Butler leads some word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather here in your house this morning. God, we pray for Brother Todd as he brings the message, and we can apply that message to our lives, Lord. God, we pray for those who are sick and not with us this morning. God, we pray for just this church that continues to grow, Lord. God, we ask that you just keep moving within our church. God, we make the most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, and God, cross for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. For all the years I've been a pastor, it's taught me anything. It has taught me that everyone, and I mean everyone, has problems. And you know, some problems are bigger than others. If you get up tomorrow morning and your car won't start and you end up being late for work, you know, that's a problem. It is. But that's probably not the end of the world. If you go to your doctor tomorrow, though, and your doctor tells you you have a serious disease and you only have a short time to live, well, that's what we would classify as a little bit bigger problem than a car that won't start, right? But, you know, over the years, I've had people come to me with all sorts of problems that they either wanted advice about or that they wanted me to pray about. And, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm real careful to say this. Sometimes I think I've seen it all. And then somebody comes into my office and proves to me I have not seen it all, and they'll have a new problem that I just have never heard of. But I've seen a lot of problems, and some people that I've counseled with have had relationship problems. Others have had problems with family. I've seen people who have had financial problems or problems at work with their boss or with a coworker. I've seen people have health problems, or someone they love had a serious health problem. I have dealt with people who have lost jobs, who have lost their businesses, and who have lost loved ones. I've also seen people who their problems were self-inflicted, and other times I've seen people that have had problems that came into their life through no fault of their own. But the list of problems that we can face in this life are absolutely endless. But I'm going to tell you something I do that helps me when I have a problem in my own life. And I ask myself a couple questions. Question number one, I say, is this going to be a problem tomorrow? Is this going to be a problem next week? Is this going to be a problem next year? Let me tell you something. 99% of my problems are transitory, meaning they're not going to last long. And so, you know, when I look at it that way, and I think, well, this ain't going to be an issue next week, I'm not going to get too worked up about it. Or I think to myself, next month, this ain't going to be a problem, or next year, this will be over and done, and water under the bridge. And I think to myself, well, let's just not get real upset about things, because sometimes those problems are just going to pass real quick. But sometimes we face problems in this life, even God's people do, that are really big problems. And sometimes, no matter what we do, or no matter what we try, it seems as if there is no solution for the problem that we're facing. And you know, when problems like that come into our lives, they do seem like they're going to crush us. And so today, I want to look at a woman who had a problem that quite honestly seemed insurmountable. And I'm talking about a woman named Jochebed. That was her name. She was the mother of Moses. And she is the woman we're talking about here in Exodus chapter 2. Now, if you want to know how I know what her name is, just go read after you get out of church this morning. Go read Exodus chapter 6, and it tells you real plain. His father's name was Amram, and his mother's name was Jochebed. And she was the mother of Miriam and Moses and Aaron. And so that's how I know what her name was. But she was the mother of Moses. And she had a big problem. She really did. And I believe there's a lot that we can learn from her situation. It'll teach us how we can handle our own problems when the really big problems come into our lives. So, what do we learn in this text this morning about those times when we have these big problems and they feel like they're going to crush us and they feel like they're never going to go away and they feel like they're just never going to be overcome? What do? Well, the first thing I think we need to look at is the problem this woman was facing. She had a big problem. I want you to go back with me to chapter 1 and let's read verse 15 and 16. It says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of the which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Now, you all know the story about how the children of Israel got in Egypt, right? You know that Joseph's brothers, they weren't very good people. They sold him into slavery, didn't they? And he went through a whole bunch of trials and difficulties and problems. He ended up in a man named Potiphar's house as a servant to Potiphar. Potiphar loved him. Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph, and he knew he was blessed because of Joseph, and he made Joseph a real important man in his household. Until Potiphar's wife tried to have an affair with Joseph, and he told her no, and then she screamed rape, and Potiphar had him put in jail, and that wasn't a very good situation, was it? And in jail, he meets a couple of fellows. One was a butler, and one was a baker for Pharaoh. They had been put in jail, and they had a couple of dreams, and so Joseph interpreted the dreams for him, and he said, these are what the dreams mean, and he told one of them, you're going to be restored back to your position. He told the other one, you're going to end up being put to death, and guess what happened? The one was restored back to his position, the other was put to death, and then a little later on, Pharaoh had a dream that really troubled him, and no one could tell him what the dream was. And so the Pharaoh's servant that had been in prison with Joseph said, you know, there's a Hebrew down there in prison. That boy can interpret dreams. Why don't you bring him out here, and maybe he can interpret your dream. And so Joseph came out, and he said, I can tell exactly what that means. We're going to have 7 years of plenty, and the crops are going to be great. He said, and then we're going to have 7 years of famine. And he said, and then things are going to be dire. And so Pharaoh was so impressed, he made Joseph second command of Egypt, only answered to Pharaoh himself. And guess what happened? Joseph was right. There were 7 years of plenty, and then came 7 years of famine. But it wasn't just in Egypt, it was everywhere. And guess what? Joseph's brothers, who years earlier had sold him into slavery, guess what happened? They needed food, and they heard, well, there's food down in Egypt. They had no idea Joseph was down there and in charge of it all. And so they come down there, and I like Joseph. He messed with them a little bit. I'm telling you what, if I'd been Joseph, I'd have messed with them too, you know it? But anyway, he reveals who he is, and guess what? They bring his father Jacob down to Egypt, and all the people and his family come to Egypt. And originally, early on, it was 70 of them. Right at 70 of them. And so that's how they ended up there in Egypt. And then look at what chapter 1 verse 7 says. They're in Egypt now. And it says in verse 7, it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Absolutely filled with them. They went from 70 to, the Bible can't even give us an exact number. There were so many of them at this point. But here's where the problem began. A new Pharaoh rose to power who didn't know Joseph, and he became fearful of the Israelites. You see, in his mind, he got in his mind, he said, well, here's what's going to happen. He said, we're going to get attacked by an enemy. These people, the Israelites, they're going to join with our enemy, and then it's going to be too much for us, and we'll be overcome. And so he came up with a plan, at least he thought he did. So I know what we'll do. We'll enslave these people. Now, go back and read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and go read the first few chapters of Exodus. He uses words like bitter.
Yeah, their life became bitter after they were enslaved. They were made to work. The word rigor keeps showing up in Exodus. They were worked hard. They were worked all day long. They were beaten. They were treated shamefully. And all because Pharaoh was afraid of them, okay? But in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, the more the Egyptians afflicted the Israelites, the more the children of Israel grew. So Pharaoh went to plan B. And that was, he wanted to kill every male Hebrew baby that was born in Egypt. Well, guess what happened? This woman named Jochebed had a baby. And this baby was a boy. And I'm here to tell you, it was not a good time to be a male Hebrew baby in Egypt. Moses came into this life with a target on his back. Pharaoh wanted him dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've experienced a lot of problems in my life, but you know, I've never had someone who was out to kill one of my children. Let me ask something, those of you that have children. How would you react if there was someone who wanted to kill one of your children? I'll be blunt. It wouldn't be pretty how I would react, okay? It just wouldn't. I wouldn't stand for a second. They'd have to kill me before they'd kill one of my kids. But I'm going to tell you something. This wasn't just any old fellow that wanted Moses dead, friends. This was the most powerful man on planet Earth in that day, the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. This was who wanted him dead, and Egypt was the superpower of the day, and Pharaoh was the king. And I'm going to tell you something, nobody would question the Pharaoh, and if they did, they knew it wasn't going to be good for him. So, you know what, when Moses' mother gave birth to him, well, let's just say, all things considered, she had a really big problem. If you want me to be honest with you, she had a bigger problem probably than most of us have ever faced in our lives. Amen. There was someone who wanted her child dead. That's a problem. This brings me to my second point. And that is that she did what she could, and she did the best that she could with the problem that she was faced with. Look at chapter 2, and let's go to verse 2 and 3. It says, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, for 3 months, this woman hid her son in an attempt to keep him alive. But in all the years that I have been a pastor, I have seen a lot of newborn babies come into a lot of churches. And let me tell you what I have found out about newborn babies when they come into church. You want me to tell you something about them? You don't even know they're here at first. Okay? You know why? Because they sleep. That's all a newborn baby does, pretty well, sleep, and occasionally wakes up and wants to eat, and occasionally wakes up, they need their diaper changed. But other than that, a baby sleeps a lot when they're first born, okay? They really do. And most time when a newborn baby comes in church, they sleep through the whole service. And then somebody like Larry Pitts tries to say, well, it was my preaching that did it, even though it really wasn't. But it's just the way it is. They sleep. But you know, they get a few months of age on them, and they start to become a little bit more alert. And they start to get a little louder, and it's hard to hide a crying baby that is screaming at the top of his lungs. And to that, Daphne will say amen, right? It's hard to hide a screaming baby, isn't it? So after a few months, it became difficult for Jochebed to hide her baby any longer. So you know what? She was like Pharaoh. She too went to plan B. She made this little boat, I guess you could call it, and she sealed it shut, and she put Moses in it. She put him down in the reeds by the bank of the river. And I don't know why she did this. I don't know what her thinking was. I really don't. I don't know what she expected. I don't know if she knew the Egyptian women came down at a certain point in the day and bathed, and she was hopeful that maybe one of them would see him and take him home. I don't know. I don't know if she knew that Pharaoh's daughter came there. I just don't know what she was thinking or what she was hoping would happen. But she hid him as long as she could. When that didn't work, she did the only other thing she could think to do. Make a little boat, set him in it, and set him by the river's edge. You know what, friends, I've found being a pastor all these years, we do the exact same thing when we get faced with problems in our lives. Did you know that? We do. We do the exact same things. Let me ask you something. How many times has a really big problem come into your life and you don't know what to do? You ever been there? So what do you do?
Well, you just do something, right? You do anything, right? I don't know if it's right or not, but we got to do something. That's how we handle problems. We react to them. Well, I don't know what to do, but I better do something quick. And we do. We're like her. We do the best we know how to do. We do the best we can do, and yet the problem doesn't go away. It's still there. So then what do? Well, I have found that very often we do the very same thing that the mother of Moses did in her situation. That is, eventually, you hear me? Eventually, she just had to put the problem in the Lord's hands and let him do as he saw fit. Look at verse 4. It says, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Like I said, she made this little boat. She sealed it. She took it to the river. She placed Moses in it. And then she had his older sister stand at a distance to watch and see what would happen. Ladies, those of you that have children, that had to be a tough thing to do, don't you think? Can you imagine being put in that situation that this was the only thing, the last resort? I'm just going to take him down there and put him in the river. I know it had to be a hard thing for her to do, but you know, right here, this woman's making the same mistake that we make over and over today. And I'm going to tell you what that is, church. We treat God like a last resort, rather than making him our first line of defense. You see, she tried to handle the situation on her own. She did everything she could think of to deal with the problem. And when nothing else worked, guess what she finally did? She's like, all right, I guess I'll put it in God's hands. Well, friends, how often do you and I do this? How often are we faced with big, insurmountable problems in our lives, and we try to handle those problems using our own skills and our own intellect and our own abilities? And how often do we just make matters worse? We do it all the time. You know what? When Moses was born, you know what his mother should have done? She should have fallen to her knees, and she should have given the problem to the Lord, and she should have allowed the Lord to deal with the problem in his time and in his way, rather than trying to take care of it herself. If the truth is told, this woman, the mother of Moses, wasted a lot of time and expended a lot of effort trying to fix this problem herself. How much better off would she have been had she simply just took the problem to God at the very beginning and waited on him to move? How much better off would you be today if you could just learn to do this with your own problems? But what do? We do exactly what she did. We put it in God's hands only after we have exhausted all other possibilities.
Amen.
Well, friends, I'm going to tell y'all something. It took me a long time to learn this. It took me longer than I'm proud to tell you to learn this, but I finally figured something out. And I'm telling you, my wife will tell you, because she knew how I was before and she knows how I am now. I'm going to tell you something. I finally figured out I can trust God with all things.
Amen.
I can trust God with the little things, and I can trust God with the big things. I can trust God with things that I don't have any clue what's going on or why it happened or why God allowed it or anything else. I've just come to this place where God, you got a plan, okay? And I finally figured out He is. He is doing exactly what His Word says He's doing. He is working in all things for my good, because I am called according to His purpose. God has a plan. And you know, sometimes God never said anywhere in His Word that every day of our life was going to be, you know, just some happy day. Sometimes difficulties are going to come. Sometimes you're going to have problems. We talked about this in Charlie's Sunday School class today. You know, in Revelation 3, he was talking to the Laodiceans, and Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold that is tried in the fire. Do you realize something? When problems come into your life, very often, you know what God's doing? He's turning up the heat, turning up the fire. It is not comfortable. It is not enjoyable. But you know what? Sometimes God has to do that to burn the impurities out of our lives, to help us become the people He wants us to be. And so sometimes, yes, there are things that happen in Todd Wiley's life that Todd Wiley wishes hadn't happened or wouldn't happen, or I would love to see go away. But you know, I've come to this place where I realize God said He's working in all things. And you know what? I trust that He is. And He's working in the enjoyable things and the unenjoyable things. He's working in the good things and the bad things, the significant things, the insignificant things, the good times, the bad. God is working in it all. And again, it took me years to learn this, but I finally realized that I just need to trust Him. And I have found that his plan with dealing with my problems is always superior to mine. Now, I'll be honest with you. I still, I'll pray sometimes, and I'll say, God, here's the problem. I'm giving it to you. You do with it what you want. Now, Lord, if you want my 2 cents, I'm going to tell you, this is how I'd like to see you handle it. But if you don't do it that way, that's all right, too, because I trust if you do something else, it's going to be better than what I could ask for. Just let him do what he wants to do, okay? He's going to do it anyway, whether you want him to or not, so might as well just go along with the situation. But, you know, right now I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I are facing something pretty big problem. I haven't told anybody about it, and I'm not going to, so don't ask her either. But I'm going to say this. I know what my will is in this situation. I do. And I know what my wife's will is, and I'll just be blunt. Her will is the same will as mine. And we've prayed about it, but you know, we quickly decided when this problem came just to put it in God's hands. And so one day we prayed together and we just said, Lord, thy will be done. You do with this whatever you want to do with this. You do it when you're ready to do it. You do it how you want to do it. And Lord, I trust, and I'm going to say this quite confidently, that whatever God does in this situation will be the absolute best thing. Now, I'm going to say this about the problem we're facing. We have absolutely no control over it. So instead of worrying about it or fretting about it or even getting mad at God about it, we decided to give it to the Lord. And that's what we did. I'm going to make you a promise. He's going to take care of it. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I have no doubt. We've given this problem to the Lord, and I have no doubt God will work in the situation in His time and in His way, and when it's all said and done, it's going to work out well. I have no doubt. Now, He may not take care of things the way I want Him to or the way I think He will, but I promise you, whatever He does will be best. And it's with that thought I come to my fourth point this morning, and that is that not only must we trust that God is working in all things, we have to trust that He has a plan for our lives and that His plan will come to pass if we'll trust Him. Look at verses 5 through 8. It says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now she had to know what her daddy, the Pharaoh, had said. There wasn't a doubt in her mind what her daddy wanted. Verse 7 says, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Isn't God awesome?
Amen.
I mean, really, when you read this, isn't God awesome? Let me tell you something that I know for a fact. There are a lot of people sitting in this room worry very foolishly about a lot of things. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to quit worrying. And you need to trust God, because I promise you, I don't care what it is going on in your life today, God's working in it and God has a plan. Friends, let me tell you something. God had a plan for Moses' life. And it did not include him dying as an infant. As a matter of fact, get this, Moses would be 80 years old before God would really, truly begin to move and work and accomplish His plan in Moses' life. Did you know that?
Amen.
He could go through 80 years' life before God ever really showed up and began to fulfill the plan that He had for his life. And think about this, because God had a plan for Moses, and because it was God's will to use Moses, guess what? Even the most powerful man on earth in that day couldn't touch him. As a matter of fact, the Lord is so much bigger than our problems that God even saw fit to make sure that this Hebrew baby was raised in Pharaoh's home as part of Pharaoh's family, the very Pharaoh that wanted him dead.
Yeah.
Isn't God awesome? Think about it, friends. Moses very quickly went from being the baby of a slave to being royalty. See what can happen when you trust God and turn your problems over to Him? I'll tell you what happened when you turn your problems over to God. God will do over and above what you could even think to ask for.
Amen.
Isn't that what Ephesians 3:20 says? It says the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think.
Amen.
Do you believe that? I believe that. That's why when I prayed about my problem, I said, Lord, I can tell you what I want you to do, but I ain't going to do that. You do what you want to do. I trust you. You're working in this situation. You have a plan for this situation, and I know you can do exceeding abundantly above anything I can even think of. So, Lord, just do what you want to do.
Amen.
Boy, it's a good feeling just to not have that burden of worry on you. I'm telling you. Just give it to God and let Him take care of it. Well, friends, let me tell you something. Ephesians 3:20 is true, and it is. Then doesn't it just make sense that we ought to just trust Him rather than worry? Doesn't it make sense that we ought to just give it to Him and let Him handle it rather than try to handle it ourselves? This brings me to my final point this morning, and that is that God blesses faithfulness, and God blesses those who trust Him. Look at verse 9 and 10. Said, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, the mother of Moses, said, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, it took Moses' mother a little while, and she had to go through trying to handle it herself and realizing that she was not able to handle it herself. But you know, once she finally came to the place that she had the faith just to put it in the Lord's hands, well, let's just say, not only did God move in the situation, God blessed her abundantly.
Amen.
Think about all that God did here. Not only did God keep Moses alive, He moved in such a way that the actual mother of Moses was the woman who was called upon by Pharaoh's daughter to nurse her own baby. I call that a blessing, don't you?
Amen.
Not only that, this is the real kicker to me. Verse 9 says she even got paid to do it. Well, that's a real blessing, isn't it? Not only do I not have to hide the kid, not only do I not have to worry about him, I get to keep him, I get to nurse him, I get to get him started off in life, and I'm going to get paid to do it. Hey, God's pretty awesome if you want my opinion.
Amen.
But God still wasn't done. Because the Lord saw fit to make sure that this baby would be end up being part of the family of the very man who wanted the male Hebrew babies dead. And get this, this wasn't by accident either. This was by design. You do realize when we go to war as a nation, you do realize we do this thing called intel, where we go and scout out our enemy and learn as much as we can about our enemy before we go fight the enemy. Let me ask you something. How much intel do you think Moses gathered being raised by the Egyptians? Let me tell you something. All those years later, when God appeared to him and sent him to Pharaoh, let me tell you something. That old boy knew exactly how the Egyptians operated. He knew exactly how they thought, how they did things. You know why? Because he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. You see, I think God did that on purpose to teach Moses about his enemy so that when he went back to face him, he'd be prepared. I don't think any of this was an accident. I think this is God working in all things. What do you think? Now, I will say this. This woman, she was a lot like us. She was a little slow. Okay? I am too, and so are you. She had a big problem, and she was a little slow to put that problem in God's hands and just trust God to deal with it. For a while, she tried in vain to handle the problem, but it was to no avail. And when she finally did put the problem in the Lord's hands, well, all I can say is the Lord moved in a powerful way and did far and above what she expected. Now I want you, just real quick again, just think about everything that the Lord did here for Moses' mother. When I said that, say this. I want you to just think about what the Lord could do with your problems if you'll just have enough faith to give them to Him. What do you think God could do in your problem? Well, I don't even want my problems, Brother Todd. Guess what? I don't either. And I'm sure this woman didn't want to be living in a time where someone was trying to kill her baby. Well, nobody likes problems, let's just be honest. But look what God did with her problems. What do you think God can do with yours?
Amen.
If you'll have the faith to give it to Him and trust Him. I'm going to make you again some guarantees this morning. Okay, you want some guarantees? Here they are. There's people in this room this morning who are facing problems. I have no doubt about it. I know about some of them. I guarantee you there's some I don't know about. And there are people in this room this morning who are stressed out and worried about their problems. I also guarantee you there are some in this room who are like the mother of Moses, and that they are trying in vain to handle that problem in their own power and with their own intellect. And if that's you today, then I want to know, when are you going to learn to trust the Lord and give your problems to Him? When are you going to figure this out? You know, the Word of God says we are to cast our cares upon Him. You know why? It says, for He careth for you. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. My Bible says that the very hair on my head is numbered.
Amen.
I have pretty short hairs, but they're still numbered. They're getting to be gray hair, but they're still numbered. There ain't many, but they're still numbered. That's how interested in me God is. And I figure if God loved me enough to come to this earth as a man and live a perfect sinless life so that He could die on that cross to pay for my sins so that I could not only be forgiven and saved and have eternal life, but become a child of God. I figure if God loves me that much, you know what? I figure He really does care about me. And I'm going to tell you something. I hear this nonsense. People say, oh, well, other people have bigger problems than me. Well, you know what? That may be true. But God's a real big God, and He can take care of their problem, and He can take care of your problem too. You know that? God ain't going to get overwhelmed, I promise you. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. If it's important to you, honey, it's important to Him. So tell Him about it, okay? Tell Him about it. And I'm going to make you another promise. Nothing's going to change with your problems, and nothing's going to get better until you finally have the faith just to give that problem to Him.
Amen.
I'm also going to promise you, if you'll trust Him, He'll take care of it in His time and His way.
Amen.
And not only that, I believe He'll bless you far and above what you could even think to ask for if you'll just trust Him and give it to Him. Let me ask you something. What problems are you facing today? Work problems, financial problems, health problems, family problems. We've all got them. Let me ask you this. Have you given that problem to the Lord yet? Are you trusting Him to deal with that problem in the best way possible? If you're facing any kind of difficulty or problem today, let me tell you the best thing you can do. You ready for it? It's real simple. In a moment, when we sing the final hymn, come to this altar. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the Lord about it. Tell Him the problem. That's not the only thing I want you to do. I want you to give Him the problem. I want you to leave the problem right here with Him. And I want you to leave this place trusting that God is working in this situation, that God has a plan, and that He will take care of you. I want you to have faith to believe that. And if you'll do that, I promise you, the Lord will deal with your problem in His way when He's ready. And His solution, I promise you, will be the best solution. And not only will the Lord deal with your problem if you'll trust Him to deal with it, I promise you this, He'll also bless you as well. Think about it. Look at everything God did in this situation. He didn't just keep the baby alive. He blessed the mother of Moses for finally coming to the place that she said, okay, Lord, here, I just got to give it to You. The Lord did it for the mother of Moses, and He'll still do it for you today. He'll bless you. But in order for that to happen, in order for the problem to be solved, you've got to give it to Him, and you've got to trust Him with the problem. And that, my friends, is how a mature child of God handles their problems.
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes we're all just like this woman. We're a little slow. And we got to go through this whole rigmarole of trying to handle things ourselves when there ain't no way we can do it. And yes, sometimes we've just got to, God just has to let us go until we finally figure out, I ain't nothing I can do about this, so I got to take the Lord. Let me just tell you, just quit doing that altogether. Just trust Him, and just next time you have a problem, just say, Lord, here's the problem. I'm giving it to You. I trust You with it. do what you will. You'll be a lot less stressed. You'll have a lot less worries. And I promise you, you'll lead a very blessed life if you'll just trust God with all things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,